Well. Welcome to a Jazzy Moment with Lovely. Yes, I am here and not at a regular time, but it's a special time. So you know it had to be in red. So you know it had to be in February. Because baby, it's all about love. Why is it all about love? Because the love master is in the house. And what do I call him? Yes, the one and the only. Do I tell you now? Or do I just tell you to go get ready? I think I want to tell you to go get ready. I can go tell you who it is. Unless you saw the promo. And if you saw the promo, then you know who's in the house. But then you also know my playlist. So you know who's on the top of my list. Need I say it? Let me see. I'm going to say it. No, I'm not going to say it. But what I am going to say is the experience start now. Get ready, guys, because it's time to go. Welcome everyone. It is the hour we've all been waiting for. Yes, I'm having an intimate time that I'm going to share with you in the name of love with Mr. Frank McComb. That's right, Mr. Frank McComb is in the house. So go and tell everybody he's here. Let everybody know he is on. And we're about to have a nice little conversation. But just in case y'all want to act like y'all don't know who I'm talking about, because remember I told you, it's always the live. And the message is in the music. And it's no better one that really can put it like this. And it goes a little something, Jay, like this.
Thank you on my life and stages. 10,000 people watching. Well, now I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I ought to be. Darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Baby, can't you see through me?
Now listen, I don't know if you felt what I felt, but it's just something about when the words are sang from the mere depth of the soul. So we're going to talk about where did this voice come from and what a mighty soul. At least I'll hold you any further because he's not going to be here long, but we're going to have this moment and he's in the room coming to you live up front, close and personal, Mr. Frank McComb.
Hey,
my buddy. Hey, my buddy. How you doing?
What's going down? I'm good, sis. I can't complain. I'm alive and healthy, so I'm in style.
I know that's right.
Hey, you know how it is. Back in the day, they say, "Oh, you wearing Gucci, you in style. You wearing Vidal's a thong and Gloria Vanderbilt, you in style." Nowadays, if you healthy, you in style.
Honey, okay.
You healthy? Yeah, I'm okay. Healthy. We in style.
Look, you ain't never lied with that one. Yeah, definitely. Man. And then the way you've been traveling, I am so glad that you are alive and you are healthy. And we have definitely been praying coverings over you as you go to and from. So how you doing?
I need it. I'm good, man. Just happy to be playing again. I'm really happy to be playing again. Because, you know, being shut down for a while and not at by my choice. That's not fun. Oh, that's not fun at all. No, that's not fun. Rates receipt up a little bit. Yeah, that's not fun being shut down and it's not by your choice. So, exactly. Yeah. That's like for those who work, you know, in corporate America or you know, regular jobs. Without you guys, we can't exist. But those that are working, it's like telling them you can't go to work today. You're not allowed to go to work today. You got to stay home for a year. You know, I mean, who wants to do that? We all got to eat, man. We got to eat, you know.
And that's exactly how we felt about it because that's why this platform was created for people just like yourself. Because we wanted to say, okay, look, these were the people that were here for us when we needed them most. Whether it was a wedding, birthday, funeral, baby shower, any type of celebration it was, any occasion, you guys had the song for it. And then it was like your job was to entertain us.
Mm-hmm. So
shut down. Yeah. And we're like, okay, what we gonna do now, y'all?
To the point where we had to go online. You know, we had to do what it took to get in front of our audience, which I didn't mind doing. I just waited till everybody else messed up and let them be the guinea pigs. And then, so when I came on, I made sure I had all my homework done, had my sound tight. You know, so I didn't want to get hit, you know, because, you know, people can be brutal, man. Fans can be brutal. So I didn't want to come out like that. You know, I wanted to make sure my stuff was tight and pristine. And the moment we got in good, man, they shut us down. They said, nope. No, you're not boosted enough. No, you ain't paying us for this platform. Shut it down.
All the way down. Even to the point, you couldn't even play your own music without it saying copyright. I'm like, really?
I'm like, dude, do you understand? I could tell Facebook and everybody else. I could tell y'all ain't my fans. Y'all don't even know me from Adam's House Cat. I'm just another number. Because it's my music. I wrote it. I produced it, mixed it, mastered it, and put it out myself. And I still can't perform it live on your platform. Exactly. Okay.
Exactly. And it's like, really? Did we really go there and do that?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm just happy to be out playing again. See, for me, though, as much as I would love to play a world tour, I don't think it's wise, at least for me. I don't know about everybody else. I can't speak for nobody else or bring nobody else down. But for me, just let me do some spot dates. And I'm content with that. And until God says, I'll give you more, or I want you to do more, or right now in this season, Frank McComb just doing spot dates. I do like 4 or 5 dates here, go home, quarantine for a while. Go back out, do another 4 or 5 dates, come home, quarantine. I'm not trying to do like a whole string of dates and be out, you know, for a long period of time. Let me come home and make sure Frank is taken care of. I got to take care of me first before anybody else. Because if I'm taking care of me, I ain't affecting nobody else. So, you know, and it ain't just for the fans, but it's for me first. I'm sorry, y'all. It's for me first.
Look,
if I'm taking care of me, then I'm taking care of you, you know?
Point.
Seriously. Yeah. Point.
because you're right there in front of us. So it's like you're singing, mask off, and then we have to be careful because you're around us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was touring, Germany with my buddy Till Bronner for Christmas, December, and we did no meet and greets. As much as we wanted to go out there and see the people, talk to the people, you know, sign autographs or whatever, we couldn't do it. Just couldn't chance it. And I was just in Oakland with Jeff Bradshaw at Yoshi's. And a lot of people were probably upset. I'm sorry, y'all. I love you to death. But I got to look out for number one. And I didn't come out and meet the people or greet the people, which I wish I could have. But shortly after that, I played Shays Lounge in Columbia, South Carolina, City Winery, Chicago, and City Winery, Philadelphia. And I felt a lot safer. So I came out and met people, you know, still had the mask and was trying to, you know, try to be as careful as I could. But we had to reschedule Nashville, which is rescheduled now. I just have to get the dates. I don't have them in front of me. I will get to get to Nashville now. So I'm feeling a little safer about it. I'm just careful, very careful, man. I tell you, me and vitamin C, that is, C don't stand for cocaine. I'm taking it like it's cocaine, though.
I think we all are.
And like, I'm taking it like it's the cane, man.
Y'all see, Mr. Woo! Is too funny. Mm-hmm. So I had the pleasure of finally meeting the one man. Sorry, so let me go start from the beginning. Yeah. Why Mike McComb? Okay. So y'all know how Lovely say it. Lovely says the message is in the music, right? And you know, it came to a point where it was like the music was telling you how to hold on, how to stay focused, how to stay tight. But then it was telling you how to get it, and it was telling you how you lost it. But it didn't give you no meat and potatoes in the middle. Well, here comes Frank McComb with Love Natural.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Love Natural is the main ingredient, is to do it naturally. You know, all the other stuff that everybody telling you what to do, it was like he gave you the whole book. Like, you know, you got the directions on the back of the box and it tells you put a couple of water and a half a cup of butter. But that's what he did with his Love Natural. So can you tell us, where did Love Natural come from?
Actually, I wrote that for Nisa. I wrote it for my wife years ago. Love Natural was written, well, it was for Love Stories in 2000. I wrote Love Natural probably in the mid-90s. I think I wrote Love Natural around 94, something like that. And recorded it for Columbia Records in 98. And finally, they released the album Love Stories in 2000. So, but most of that record, Love Stories, was written years before I even had to deal with Columbia Records. I was with Buckshot LaFunk in the 90s, with Branford Marsalis. Buckshot LaFunk featuring Branford Marsalis. And during that time, I was recording. And, you know, when we had an off time. But Branford reached out to me and said, okay, man, it's time to do an album. I was like, cool. So, 98, I finally got signed to Columbia. Now, signing to Columbia is a whole different story within itself. We can have a bottle of whiskey, some communion or something over that. But I finally got signed to Columbia after the R&B department turned me down. The jazz department signed me through Branford. Branford got me signed directly to the company. He said, it's time to get some songs together. Just shoot me some songs. So Love Natural, Future Love, Keep Pushing On, Gotta Find a Way, The Wedding Song, which wasn't called The Wedding Song at the time. It was called Wishing You All the Best or something like that. They're going to be looking at you. If This Is Love. Yeah, pretty much that whole album was already demoed. I had demoed that record in 95, 96, or 96, 97, something like that. I cut all the tracks at home. And I sent all of those tracks to Branford. And like my music reading chops are just not there because I came up straight out of the hood of Cleveland, Ohio. And I learned some theory from Branford. I learned some theory from the School of the Arts, but I learned more to get my politics at the School of the Arts, but that's another bottle of whiskey. so yeah, we got plenty to have communion over. Yes. So Bradford gets me signed to Columbia, and we recorded that whole album, Love Stories, because I did my homework. We recorded that whole album in 26 days. Now, mind you, Bradford was touring at the time with a trio, Bradford Marcellus Trio, and his off days from the road, he would have me fly out to New York, and we'd get in the studio, and we would cut 3 days here, 5 days here, 6, 7 days there. And then when we added up all the days, vocals, mix, mastering, editing, tracking, everything, 26 days to do that album, to do Love Stories.
Wow.
26 days. Unheard of, ain't it? But yeah. And then I turned around last year, I think it was, and I put out the actual demos. I put the demos out so people could hear what the song sounded like before going to the studio cutting them. Just for the heck of it, because there are music purists out there. There are guys that really get into us as recording artists, and they like hearing the behind-the-scenes stuff. They like hearing all of the stuff. Like, where was your head at when you made this? What did it sound like before the actual recording? I'm one of those guys, too. So I like listening to the old vintage records and hearing the mistakes that Ramsey Lewis made in the 60s, but they couldn't go back and re-record it in the 50s, because all the guys had to stop and start all over. Wasn't no punching system, you know. You couldn't just punch in and fix something. Now, they didn't have to take. Now, I remember the Dells telling me that. I was doing some session work for the Dells years ago. And they told me that. They said, man, it was all the guys around one mic. And then one dude off by himself singing lead on the other mic. And one person, myself, we had to just keep going if it was keepable. If it was keepable, we kept it. That's what the guys told me, the Dells. So I like listening to that stuff, hearing the noise in the back, you know. So I put that out. You know, I put out the 1996-97 demos for Love Stories. Yeah, I put it out, I think, last year, so people can hear the raw. You know, just put the raw stuff out. I ain't scared. Put it out.
And before the album started. That's when you had that.
Now, that's what I love about vinyl. I just pulled my vinyl out of my garage. And I came across the actual 45, I just put it on Instagram yesterday, on social media, Instagram, Facebook. The actual 45 that introduced me to Donny Hathaway. My mother had it. It was called I Love You More Than You Ever Know. The actual 40, her 45 that she played when I was 3 years old. I just put it on Instagram. That was my introduction to Donny Hathaway, that actual 45. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing because when I first heard you, I was like, wow, it's like Donny Hathaway. And out what some people did not know, but you had to go to the show to find out.
Uh-oh.
You were here in Philadelphia for a while.
Yeah, I lived in Philly for a year. Yeah, I lived in Philly. I moved to Philly September of 1991. It was right after touring with the Rude Boys. Rude Boys, Laverne and the OJs. I was a musical director for the Rude Boys, and that was my very first tour. Wow. And, we went to Philly on that tour, and I met up with some guys, Marcus Sherman Byers, real good guys. And Jeff talked me into moving to Philly. Marcus Sherman talked me into moving to Philly. So I moved to Philly, and Marcus Sherman looked out for me. And they had my back, helped me get a spot in Philadelphia. And literally, I moved right down the street from Philly International Records, Gamble and Huff. And Sherman actually took me to the building and introduced me to Gamble and Huff. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And before I knew it, I was a session musician for Gamble and Huff, right there, Philadelphia International Records. And then there was Jeff. I'd ride my bike over to Jeff's house, or just drive right over to Jeff's house. He didn't live far from me, you know. At the time, he had a townhouse right there on Delaware Avenue, right at the water. It was beautiful, and I would go over there and just cut tracks at his crib. You know, wow. And before I knew it, I was on the road with them, with Jeff and Will. So, wow. And that's where it started for me with the Rude Boys, as far as like the touring and, you know, getting my feet wet in the record business. But I was playing in bars back in Cleveland, because that's where I'm born and raised. I was playing in bars. I started playing piano at 12 with 3 piano lessons. By the time I was 15, I was in the bars with all the old guys. 17, I started my first trio. So the Frank McComb Trio, we'd go up to Erie, Pennsylvania and play, and most of the work was around Cleveland. and hitting them bars, you know, and honing my skills as a musician and as a leader, as a band leader. So when the Rude Boys got signed to Atlantic, they called me and asked me to be in the band. So I was like, yeah, I'll jump in the band. So we groomed and rehearsed at least 2 years. We're talking 89. So at this point, I'm 19 years old. And right before we started the tour, the bass player that we had at the time, the late Cliff Colson, awesome bass player, we lost him about a year or so ago, 2 years ago now, I think. But he was the original musical director, and he got called away to go play for the Winans. So they needed an MD, and then threw me in the seat. So I became the musical director for the Rude Boys out of nowhere. No, Frank, you got to take the job. You got to do it. Joe Little, Melvin Cephas, the late Larry Marcus, and the late Buddy Banks. We just lost Buddy.
Yeah.
In 20. So that hurt me, man. I still can't believe he gone. Both of those guys. But yeah, so that was the beginning of my touring world, you know. So from the Rude Boys, it went to Jeff and Will. From Jeff and Will, it went to Tina Marie, Philip Bailey. Philip was the first person of Earth, Wind & Fire, for those who don't know. Philip Bailey was the very first person to take me out of the country. Philip Bailey took me to Japan. My first time out of the country was Japan, Tokyo. Yeah, thanks to Philip Bailey. Yeah, I owe that credit to him.
So wait a minute. Were you in that Tokyo Live cut?
No. I wasn't. I was just in the band. No. We just toured the Blue Notes. We did all the Blue Note tours. It was, if I can remember correctly, it was Tokyo, Osaka, Fukuoka, Iwakuni. No, that was a naval base we went to, or one of the military bases we went to. Fukuoka, Osaka. Yeah, then we went back and did the USO tour. So it was, I think it was Kobe, Sasebo, Iwakuni. Man, I can't remember. But yeah, he took me out of the country. He was the first to take me out of the country. Branford Marsalis was the first to take me to Europe. So I was touring Europe with Branford Marsalis. And thanks to both of those guys, when I started my solo career, I was able to go back and play a lot of those places. So, yeah, I always wanted to be a recording artist. From the time I was a toddler, I knew what I wanted to do for a living. I knew what I wanted to do for a living.
How did that
as a child, as a baby. I'm sorry?
So how did that story start?
Well, watching my mother, my aunts, my grandmother all sing, you know, coming up in the Holiness Church about the size of, I won't even say it was the size of the room in Philly that I played, the City Winery Loft. I don't even think it was probably a third that size, a small church. Okay. And my grandmother was the pastor. But I grew up watching them sing, stand around the piano and sing, or, you know, at my grandmother's house or in church. You know, my mother would be the choir director, and my aunts, Liz and Evelina, would be playing piano and organ. My cousin Clarence, who we just lost about a week ago, he would play drums. My first instrument was drums because of him.
Okay.
And then piano kicked in with Evelina, my aunt Evelina. I watched them and I was just blown away by it. But it's crazy because everybody say I sound like Donnie, but I never tried to sound like Donnie or Stevie. I grew up watching them and listening to them, my aunts. You know, I'm the only man in my family singing. So I'm there's no man you can reference me to. I'm the only one. I'm the only man in my family, my whole family singing. And we came up in them same sanctified holiness churches just like Hathaway did. And that was the style of singing. So that's just how it happened. I'm a male version of my mama, you know?
Yeah.
As far as the tone, you know. But yeah, that's how it happened.
Wow. Yeah. It's like when you sit there and you think about the old times, the old school, it shows me why your soul is so old and how it speaks. Like, you really have a storytelling whole genre of just down. Like,
man, if you only knew my story, but whew, that's another bottle of communion.
Well, you gonna make me
have to and it's really coffee in here. It's really coffee in here. It's really coffee, no communion. It's really coffee because a brother been like working a lot the last couple of nights, and you know, sometimes it feels like I got the jet lag thing again. Yeah, but I'm good.
You have truly been busy. Like, I seen you in Baltimore, and that was over the summer. And then you started moving after that. Then you went over and did the Christmas thing. Then you came back over and been running ever since New Year's.
I've been running. And then, you know, I'm writing new stuff and trying to decide the direction I'm going to go in. I don't think I want to put out another record right now. I just don't, because nowadays, now this is the businessman talking. This ain't the recording artist talking. You know, we as artists, we just want to record, 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 put out. You got to be smart about this thing, because I look at, how do I say this without sounding arrogant? I look at songs. I look at songs like I look at money. Okay. I don't like wasting it. You know, I don't believe in wasting it. So in this, and I hope I'm talking to somebody out there, any independent artist that really want to maximize your music. I don't believe in good songs going bad. In this society, people ain't buying records, man. They're not buying full albums. Put out a good single or two and market it. And while that single is doing its thing, work on another one. You know, just continue to create, but don't waste it. You know, I just don't see putting out a whole bunch of albums right now.
Right.
There was a time where we could, well, I won't say we, but growing up, bodies of work were great bodies of work. You know, every song on the record was good. Then we went through a period where, what is it, around the 90s, where only one or two songs on a whole album were great and everything was just fillers. I don't believe in fillers. That's a waste of time, a waste of energy, and definitely a waste of money, because fillers ain't getting on the radio.
Right.
How do you get your royalties? Exposure. It's got to be exposed. It ain't doing nothing just sitting on a plastic, a piece of plastic or vinyl, you know. It's got to be heard. And if it's being heard, then it's getting value. I just don't believe in wasting good songs. So I don't know when I'm going to do another album, because it's just not what my head is. You know, looking at the business side of things, that's just a waste of money.
But you know,
you've
been listening to your music. And that's why I always say, so one of the things that Lovely says is, if you see an entertainer that have created something out of love for you, return the favor of love and support back by either downloading, streaming, or go to their.com and get the whole CD. But not only that, go back to their discography and you'll be surprised of what you can find.
Ooh, yeah. Because those of you guys that are just getting hip to me, you have no idea. Go back, man. There's so much music. I put out so much music. And this is experience talking. I mean, I'm putting out great bodies of work. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Just be prepared to either, one, spend a whole lot of money pushing every song on that project, or two, just be prepared for only one or two tunes to really be heard and caught and captured, and the rest of the record just, you know, does whatever it does. But me, I don't think I want to put out a whole album right now. I don't think I want to do it.
Talking about putting one of your songs out and letting it do whatever it needed to do, can you tell me the story behind the story that I tell everybody? Put the pillows down on the floor, because when he starts singing, I'm just going to fall out. When he starts singing, I'm just going to fall out.
Oh, Lord.
I took my son to meet you in Baltimore. And the whole time he was like, "Are you crying?" And after a while, he stopped.
Oh, man.
And then after he stopped, he was like, "Yo, he's deep." But then not only do you sing it, but then you play it. And then the play comes out even more. And then after you play it even more, it just like it becomes an overfilling plate full of experience, where I tell everybody it's the live. It truly is the live.
Thank you.
But when you put that song and you came out with, "Where Were You When I Needed You?" It was like, did you really say that? And I admit, I've heard the song by Stevie Wonder. I've heard it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we get lost in the beat, and sometimes we don't really understand the words that are really being said. But I guess with maturity and time, and then you took your time on that thing, I was like, seriously, dude? Like, did you really come at me like that? Like, where was you? And then the way y'all did it, let you go ahead and tell the story of when you originally did it. Go ahead. When did you originally do it?
Actually, that arrangement, I did that arrangement years before Jeff asked me to do it on the album. And I had no idea that Hathaway had done an arrangement of the song too. But Hathaway did it, of course, in 71, I think. He did it way back around 71. I had never heard it before. So that was a guy that was working for Atlantic Records. Had to be, oh God, somewhere in the mid-90s. Found me. And I think he and producer Mike City were talking about me. And I had never met Mike at the time. And Rich, I guess, liked my talent so much that he actually found me, put me on a plane, and flew me to New York and had me come to the record label, Atlantic Records, and sit in his office. And he played a bunch of unreleased stuff that he said they were about to put out. So I heard all of these songs for you arrangements, all of that stuff that they put out by Donny Hathaway before it was even released. Rich Christina played all that stuff for me, and I heard Superwoman. And I like to fell out like you. I was like, wait a minute. I have an arrangement that's halftime, half of the time of Stevie's version, just like this. And I had never heard Hathaway's arrangement of it. That blew me away. So I would perform it in concert. And maybe they heard a clip or something from where I performed it or played it, but it was enough for Rich to fly me to Atlantic. To New York to hear it at Atlantic Records through his speakers. But I guess the talent wasn't enough and the arrangement wasn't enough for him to sign me, because he didn't. So
Wow.
Go figure. Why would you fly me all the way to New York to let me hear some unreleased Hathaway stuff and then fly me back to LA without a contract? I won't say contract, without an agreement. Yeah. You know, so that I still don't understand to this day, and a brother ain't trying to figure it out because I'm independent. Yeah,
that's all right.
So,
yes,
yeah. So I'm cool. I get to keep my royalties. I didn't sign a third major label deal with no royalties.
Well, listen, guys, yeah. I have to play this song. I'm gonna try to stand up. I'm trying to stay up because, so you know how you know somebody. And I know y'all like, you don't know him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now you know somebody and you're like, wait a minute.
Oh, Lord.
Sounds very familiar. But then when I found out who it was, I was like, I knew that was him. So where is this all coming from? So everybody from Philly, and welcome everybody in the house. Yes, Priya, Philly is in the house. And thank you, Keith. Listen, if y'all haven't already began, I think you guys need to share now, because this tune I'm about to blow y'all away with, and congratulations because it just became nominated, correct, for Song of the Year?
Yeah, which tune is it?
Ah.
You got me on it now, because I got so many records out that's been nominated for this and nominated for that, and I ain't won nothing. So
listen, you may not have won nothing, but you won my heart with this one. So there's an album out called Stronger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Jeff. Yeah, it is. That's, yeah. I got two tunes up. Yeah, right now with, what's the names?
Kanye. Indy. Dawes.
Yeah. No. One tune I did with the chick, Kathy Cousins, called Pinch Myself, that I wrote and produced.
Yes, Pinch Myself.
And that's up. That one's up for Duo of the Year. And the other one is up with Jeff Bradshaw, Best Jazz Male Vocal. Not even for the trombone, but for me. Go figure. Yeah. Yeah, look, Best Male Jazz right. Vocal. But I would have to share that. I'd have to share that with Glenn Lewis, which is another great vocalist, because he did the first part for Superwoman, and I did the second part, Where Were You When I Needed You. The whole thing is up for grabs.
Yes.
So I'm happy about that. Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Like I said, it was so hilariously funny because I knew the song. I heard the songs. But the way y'all put it, the way the three of y'all put that thing together, it made a woman go. Seriously, it did. Because we came out with
to
the first
up for the kill.
Wants to be a superwoman, right?
Yeah.
But do you really know what it means? You're like, yeah, we know what it means. I'm being my man, yeah. Superwoman. But well, then he said, okay,
But you know, it's like when you feed a baby and the baby don't want the vegetables. So you got to put the little peas before, you got to put the peaches and dessert before the vegetables on the spoon and shove it in their mouth.
Yes, and that's exactly what y'all did too.
But you know what? What I thought was smart of Jeff because of recording and technology was that he separated the two tombs. Instead of having one go directly into the other, like Stevie did, he segued from one to the other. Where Jeff just did one and then the other one. He just called, I don't know why he called it Superwoman too, but I don't know. But it's really, where were you when I needed you? That's the second half of the song. But, you know, he must have had a good reason for it, knowing Jeff, there's something behind it.
Oh, so. Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, with every artist, I believe you all have that behind you where there's a method to your madness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the method.
Yeah, we think a little differently. We think a little differently.
Yeah, y'all do.
My wife will tell you, we'll be 29 years this year.
Okay,
thank you. She'll tell you. Sometimes it feel like 1 year 29 times with me, because she is quick to tell you, Frank, you don't think like regular people, and sometimes it drives me damn crazy. But it takes somebody to understand you to be with you, bro. And she got a point, because it took for me to look at my own son. My son is the same way. He's a genius. I mean, he graduated from one college with 3 degrees at 21 years old. And now he's going to another school now, the LA Film School, getting ready to graduate in October with a degree in mixing and all of that stuff, in audio. My daughter, you know, she's a UNLV graduate, working at the Wynn. She's doing great at the Wynn, but she was going to start her own company. So I look at them, and I'm like, yeah, that's me. No, but even they'll tell me, though. They're like, Dad, you'll for an example, Dad, you look at a stop sign and you still say it's round just because it's circular. Right. You don't see things the way we see things. That they tell me all the time. You don't think the way we think. It's just you different. But I mean, you got to be a little off to keep your sanity. Especially in this record business it's a game called the record business. And you have to think differently. Well, let me put it to you this way. I can't speak for everybody else. I have to think differently. Okay. I have to constantly keep my eye on the prize, because there's a lot of rejection in this game. There are, you know, a lot of opinions thrown on you. I've been told that I was difficult to work with. I've been told that I'm uncoachable. And during those times when I would hear those things, yeah, it bothered me. But I'm 52 this year, July. Woo-hoo. And some time has gone by, and I had to think about that thing. I had to say, wait a minute. Who said I was difficult? Who said that I was hard to work with? And when I did the research, I realized it was everybody that said that were people that were trying to get over on me. Mm. So, of course I'm going to be difficult.
That's right.
Of course I'm going to be uncoachable, because I don't want to hear what the hell you got to say. I know you're trying to hurt me. So, of course I'm going to be difficult. I had to think about that thing. I went over the track record. I said, wait a minute. This person said I was uncoachable. This person said I was difficult. This person said I was this. This person said, and when I did the homework, it was all people that just were not good for me. It was people that was trying to take me out. People that were trying to rob me. People that were trying to get my publishing. Yeah. So of course I'm going to be difficult. So y'all keep that in mind. Take inventory and find out who's telling you that you difficult. Take inventory and find out who's telling you that you ain't good enough, because most likely the person that's telling you that you ain't good enough ain't good themselves.
Woo!
Go figure. And they're probably a hater trying to get you off course, because if they can throw you off course, then yeah, of course you're gonna listen to that. Now you got to be like a horse with blinders on in a race, man. Bam, just like that. You can't look to the left, can't look to the right, because I'm telling you, they will distract you and throw you off your course, man. I'm telling you, I have my share of it. Done with that. Yeah.
Look, and y'all heard it first. Now y'all see why he my favorite. Because he be teaching, you know, he be teaching through song, and then he stops the music and start teaching you. So listen, you know.
I just want people to live a good life and stay in your lane and make your money. You know?
Well, the chat is in agreement with you. Ms. Vera is saying the same thing. She's saying amen, amen. And Rita has walked in the house. She said,
what's up, y'all? What's up, Rita? Well, spelled R-E-E-T-A.
Yes.
Rita. Rita. So be different, girl.
That's right. And she is there. Truly, she is.
That's cool. That's cool.
We'll be right back, y'all. I'm going to take a short break. And when we come back, you're going to understand why this song made me fall flat on my back. I'm just saying. We'll be right back, y'all. We'll be right back.
I feel like busting loose. Busting loose, I said, Shala, come on, y'all say,
put your
mind
down.
I said, Shala, get it, y'all say,
put your
mind
down.
I said, Shala, come on, y'all say,
put your
mind
down.
I said, Shala, get it, y'all say,
put your
mind
down.
If you want to create a drop, release your new song with a pop, do you need an exciting intro for your video? If you want to create a drop, release your new song with a pop, do you need an exciting intro for your video, promote your business, products, or shows? Contact us for customized digital video packages. For more details, email us at tkbsds.org@gmail.com.
So we are back, and we are back with the one and only Mr. Frank McComb. Now,
where he at? Who? Where he at?
Y'all didn't know he was a funny guy, did y'all?
Nah, man. I was just trying to eat. That's all.
You know what? I have to do it. I have to do it first. Tell us about Grandma. Can we talk about Grandma?
What about Grandma? Grandma. you're talking about my grandpa. Fanny. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Fanny, she was I tell you, my grandmother was cool. She was the pastor of our church, but she could spot you, boy. Fanny could spot you. When you were legit, yeah. When you wasn't, yeah. And you couldn't pull no fast one on you, because she'd just look at you and say, Then she'd just look off and don't look at you no more. And while you talking, she's just like, yes. Let you tell it. Let you tell it. That's all she said. When she said that was it. I wish I had Grandma now so I could put her up against some of these people in the industry that I won't have to deal with, because she'll expose them to me just by saying, I should have used her years ago when they were messing with me. Just, hey, Grandma, this is such and such and such. That's all you got. Frankie? Yeah, Grandma. Red Boy? Yeah, Grandma. That's it. That's it. She was no nonsense. She was no nonsense, man. But my grandma was the coolest, boy, I tell you. She was cool. I miss old Fanny.
She gave it to you, because I
recall. Yeah, I remember my grandmother. My grandmother had my back when I was a little boy. I tell you, they thought I was off when I was a little kid. My cousins, you know, they were the younger hip cousins. You know, they were older than me though. You know, and my aunt, she was the youngest of my grandmother. They were thick as thieves, right? And we're talking 1973, right? They bringing in the latest hit vinyl record. Headhunters coming in the house by Herbie Hancock and Inner Visions, Stevie, all those records coming in the house. And I remember when they brought them in. They put that record on and they, you know, you get your reefer. It wasn't weed, it wasn't herb, it was reefer back then.
It was reefer.
They put their reefer on that album cover and get that little thing and separate the seeds with the driver's license or something. And they get it again. They get to smoking, and they say, "Put the record on. Watch Red. Put the record on. Watch Red." They get high, and they put that record on. And I would make my way. I'm like every bit of 3-4 years old, I'll make my way to the record player and be watching the record go around like this.
I think we all did that.
And if I didn't do that, I'd run to the speaker, put my ear on the speaker. The whole time the record is on, and I'm thinking the people inside the damn box. Right. They thought I was crazy. And they'd be high and cracking up. Look at me. Ooh, do it again.
I can't.
My grandmother would bust in that room or come on that porch, but they would take the record player outside. And she said, y'all better leave Frankie alone. Little red boy is going to shock the world one day. Leave that boy alone.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that you did.
What y'all smoking? Mm-hmm. No, nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, old Fanny. She had my back when I was a little kid. Y'all better leave Frankie alone. Leave Red Boy alone.
Mm-hmm. But she knew. Mm-hmm. You knew who you
what
were.
What y'all in here doing? Nothing, Grandma, nothing. Nothing, we ain't doing. Let you tell it. Mm-hmm. My nose don't deceive me. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Fanny.
That's mm-hmm. gonna be the new thing to do. They're like, what you doing? I'm doing the Fanny. What's that? Let you tell it.
Let you tell it. I'm gonna let you tell it. Mm-hmm.
Besides the humor of the genius over here, let's go ahead and listen to this genius of a song. This is called, listen, Superwoman 2. And why I was convicted was because at the very beginning of the song of part Superwoman was one said, everybody want to be a superwoman, right? Mm-hmm. But do you know what it means? And then it came back and said, I ain't superwoman, but when I needed the superwoman, where were you?
Nowhere to be found. Where were you at?
You, superwoman. Mm-hmm. Where was you at, superwoman? And it left me like.
When the summer came, you wasn't around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So listen, I need y'all to listen. So like Frank said, put your ear to the speaker. Now, I got to let you guys know.
But I ain't in the box. Just know that. I ain't in the speaker box.
Listen, guys. Listen, we know that copyright reasons and licenses, etc. We know that we're not doing anything but just promoting the music. And Mr. McCone is here, the actual singer of the song.
Yeah.
So no one writes the player, but we writes the player. Mm-hmm. So we go
at the end of the day, Stevie's still getting his publishing. So leave us alone.
Leave us alone. We're going to play Superwoman 2.
When the summer came, you were not around for me. Now that summer's gone and love cannot be found, where were you when I needed you? Last winter, my love, when the winter came, you went further south, parting from love's nest and leaving me in doubt. Where are you when I need you?
Right now.
Our love is at an end. Though you say now you have changed. But tomorrow will reflect love's past. Yeah. When the winter came, you were not around. Through the bitter winds, love could not be found. Oh, where were you when I needed you? Like last winter. Oh,
yeah. Get the song.
When oh man,
live, I felt like every woman who ever let somebody down literally went home and was like, yo, can we talk? So like I just like your song Future Love. Mm-hmm. You just
wow.
Where does it come from? Like your soul just bleeds out and it just there.
Honestly, probably because I didn't get enough attention from the girls in school.
Really?
You know, I don't know. That's, well, on the real tip, growing up, I always listened to music that had something to say. When I was coming up, it's like a song I did. Y'all can check it out from the Soulmate Another Love Story record. It's called We're Gonna Be On Our Own. And I'm talking about, like the lyrics say, once the music's gone, we're gonna be on our own. But it really means once our legends are gone, we're gonna be on our own. In that song, I mentioned how music gave people life. You know, back then, you could use the words from any love song. This is what I say in the song. You can use the words from any love song and write them down on a piece of paper and send them to the girl that you wanted to call your own. And in most cases, you got that girl because the lyrics said something back then. Nowadays, you write lyrics down and give them to a girl. I say it all the time. That woman gonna think you try to kill her or rape her. So back then, it was music with substance. We could use music for politics back then. You know, it said something. So growing up, it was always about good, healthy, wholesome music. Everybody has, even Parliament has something to say. Everything is on the one today, y'all. Now get to that. Meaning, everything is all right.
Yeah.
Everything is funky. It's on the one. Bam! Two, three, four. Two, two, three, four. That's where that come from, because, you know, he took it from James Brown. You know, put the emphasis on the one. That's what the funk was. But George was saying, everything is on the one today, y'all. Now get to that. Meaning, like, we all right. Everything is good, man. Everything was used back then, pretty much. Or pretty much everything was used to it have for something good. It was a message, you know. Even if it was, well, let me take it back. Even if it was something bad, a song was written about it with some integrity, you know. If something was sexual or sensual, you know, go back to the Marvin Gaye record around 1976 called I Want You, written by Leon Ware. And Leon thought it was going to be his record, but they took it from him and put it on Marvin. But he said some freak nasty stuff in that record, man.
He did.
In that whole album, he said some freak nasty stuff. But it was marketable. It was genius how he did it, you know? All the music back then, it said something. And that was what I grew up listening to, music that had some integrity. Music that said something to the people, something to politics, you know, anything. Like even Stevie. If you go back to that album, Fulfilling Its First Finality, around 74, there's a song on there called You Haven't Done Nothing. He's talking about politics. You know, we're sick and tired of hearing your song, telling us how you're going to change right from wrong. But if you really want to hear our views, you haven't done nothing. Mm. But it's how he did it. You know, it's how he said it. He didn't cuss the people out.
Right.
So
right.
That's where it comes from for me. I grew up listening to that. I grew up listening to Stevie, Donnie, Herbie, Parliament, Funkadelic, Barcase, The Spinners, People, Bryson, Natalie Cole, Nancy Wilson, Duke Ellington, Oscar Peterson, Ramsey Lewis, The Crusaders. I grew up listening to all of that stuff, you know. So, and getting into piano, I listened to just as much instrumental stuff as I did vocal stuff. you know, mm-hmm. which enables me to put out instrumental records without even singing on them and still be successful with it. Like I did a record in 06. It released December 1st, 2006, called A Tribute to the Masters. And it's a whole record of instrumentals, no vocals, not my voice is nowhere on the record. And it still got notoriety.
That's right.
So I've had people in the record business who shall remain nameless, because I'm not one to exploit people. I'm one to use the story use my story of my life as a testimony for somebody else, versus going deep and being, you know, and bringing people's names out. That's not cool. No, you use your life as a testimony. So there were people in this record business that I've had a few of them just reach out to me recently and ask me, what am I doing with my publishing? Oh, I'm keeping it because you taught me.
Right.
You taught me to keep it. Yeah, remember that time you ripped me off? Yeah, mm-hmm. I learned the lesson from it. But I had people tell me, you should never put out an instrumental. You should always sing, only sing, because people don't want to hear your instrumentals. People don't want to hear you play the piano. Man, I got so many fans of my instrumental work. And there are legendary musicians who give me my props. I never would have released a tune called DC and Me. It's an instrumental tune with me and Dennis Chambers, one of the greatest drummers, one of the funkiest drummers, one of the most highly respected drummers, legendary drummer, been around forever, and did a single with me. And I call it DC and Me for Dennis Chambers. So I wouldn't have gotten the respect from Prince that I got. And we're talking about one of the coldest guitar players that people don't realize how cold he was on guitar. But yeah, I've had people tell me, you know, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. And no, I like having my freedom. And I like expressing myself musically, like George Duke did on his records back in the 70s and the 80s. Well, all of his records. Actually, if you think about it, a lot of his records, all of his records, he's singing on those records and he's playing on those records. Look at George Benson, singing on his records and playing on his records.
Yes.
Atlantic even let Donnie get one or two in on the album Extensions of a Man. He's singing on the record, but Valdez in the Country was just as big a hit as everything else on that record. Yep. Valdez in the Country, instrumental joint that he remade. No, I think he wrote Valdez. I think he did. And somebody else originally released it first, and then he did it in 73. But yeah, either way it go, it don't matter. That song is just as popular as all of the vocal stuff he's done. Mm-hmm. You know, look at The Ghetto. It's just as popular, probably the most popular tune he ever put out. And he just sang ad-libs on it. He played on that joint.
Yes.
So yeah, don't tell me what I can and can't do. We're going to have a fight. And you're going to lose, I promise you.
And he's going to leave y'all feeling some kind of way when he finished.
Damn straight. and you know what? That's funny. That's the perfect tune. That's the perfect tune to use as the example of what I'm saying. Because I had Duke in mind when I did that tune. Feeling some kind of way. Avery Sunshine and Najee are both on that record. And Najee and George Duke were like really tight. And then me and Duke got really tight. So now Najee's taking George Duke's place in my life as one of my mentors. So, but yeah, that record there, I remember working on a keyboard for Korg keyboards. And it's a keyboard called the Kronos. And I was blessed to be able to get my name in that keyboard. I talked them into naming all of the patches that me and other keyboard players worked on this. This is back here somewhere. This keyboard here. I developed the sounds. It was two electric pianos, no, two Fender, two Wurlitzer electric pianos and one Fender Rhodes. The late great Lyle Mays and I worked on the same day. He was developing an acoustic piano. For those who don't know who Lyle is, he played for Pat Metheny. If you don't know who Pat Metheny is, look him up. Herbie Hancock, George Duke, Jeff Lorber, Russell Ferrante of the Yellow Jackets. It was about eight or nine of us. And we developed sounds, or worked with the great Jack Holtop and Jerry Kavarsky to develop sounds for the Korg Kronos. And when we did the Kronos, I asked him, I said, why don't y'all name these patches after us? Every patch that we did, why don't you name them after us? And Squeaky Wheel got the oil. All of our names are in that keyboard now because yours truly asked for it. My name is in that keyboard in every Kronos around the world and in every model that they make. That's part of the deal. My sounds stay in there, and all of our names stay in those keyboards. So my name is in that keyboard right next to Herbie Hancock and right next to George Duke.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, what happened, back to the story, is they sent me one in the mail. at the same time, I was talking to Avery Sunshine, and she had this idea for a tune because we were talking about doing something together. So she and her now husband, Dana, sent me this file of just her ad-libbing. And Dana's playing these chord changes on the guitar. Feeling some kind of way, feeling this kind of way. Oh, feeling some kind of way. Hey, yada, yada, yada. So I get this new Kronos in the mail. I'm listening to Avery Sunshine and Dana. Okay. First tune I cut on this actual Kronos was Feeling Some Kind of Way. What? That very song was the very song I cut on this very Kronos right here. And I tracked all of that on this keyboard by myself. So after tracking everything, I called my friend Dave Stevens, who's out of Philadelphia, David P. Stevens, had him play guitar on it. Yeah, that's my dude. Yeah, that's my dude. I had him play guitar on it, and I called Najee and asked him to play flute on it. Not sax, but flute. And I sent it back to Avery Sunshine. She like lost her damn mind. Because I didn't send it to her along the way, you know, working on it along the way in the process of working on it. No, I tracked the whole song and sent it to her and said, now I need you to just ad-lib in the end. Just send me the ad-libs. That's how that song was born.
Now, yeah, this is funny because you did the very thing that artists have learned to do due to the pandemic. You did it before it.
Let me tell you something. I say this all the time. I've been living like it was COVID before COVID. Everybody say, I did so many interviews during COVID, so many interviews. And they said, how you holding up? I said, hell, I'm holding up like I've been holding up. It's not like it's a big support system behind me. I ain't got no record label, no booking, and no management. It's been me all the time. So COVID or no COVID, you should ask me how I was making out when we had the volcanoes erupt. You should ask me how I was making out when there was a big flood. We ain't talking about Katrina. No, we talking about the floods that Buckshot LaFunk avoided the day we left New Orleans. Yeah, we left New Orleans in the 90s, and that next day, the hotel we stayed in, the lobby had about a good 6 inches of water from a storm that we avoided. So, yeah, you should have asked me how I was making out then. You should have asked me how I was making out when I avoided Kobe, the earthquake in Kobe back in Japan, or even the tsunami in Japan. I got out of Japan. My trio got out of Japan 2 days before that tsunami hit. Yeah, so I've avoided a lot of disasters. You should ask me then how I was living. So you wait till COVID to ask me just so I can tell you I've been living like it was COVID the whole time.
Wow.
Man, please. Yeah, you're so the COVID thing
right there.
This COVID
that's what
thing
you call
this,
favor. That's yeah, favor and right there.
A true
that's
and favor. I'm a true not just a recording artist, but a true missionary. I go to places and cut to Europe that most artists don't go to or can't go to or can't get to. I get up in them little bitty cuts and in them little villages, and they want to hear music. So me and my musician friends, I've got relationships with musicians for 30 years plus. So, you know, just people that I've known for years. And then meeting all the guys in Europe, I've had those relationships since I started going to Europe back in the mid-90s, you know. So we plan it, not roll over. We book the dates and go and play, you know. All right. And those they appreciate it. But you get these big names that would love to play those places, but they can't afford to make the kind of money they need to pay everybody that's working for them. You know, I ain't slighting nobody, but it's a business. Right. You know, they can't afford to go play those places.
Right.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
And when you come as if you was being paid the big bucks. I'm trying to tell
you it paid. Man.
Ever been to a live Frank McComb show? He never, ever, ever, never disappoints, and it's never done the same way.
It's thank
never
you.
Done the same way.
Listen, I appreciate it.
Look, you know, you already know.
Oh man,
you already know.
I'm on it with your red on. Look at you with your red on. Look at that.
You already know. Yeah, only this the red, people make me want to jump.
Yeah, this the red room right here. I do a lot of work in my red room. Then I got a blue room too. Downstairs in my house, I got a blue room where I cut down there too. Just want to change the atmosphere sometimes. Yeah. So yeah, man. I tell you, this I appreciate you putting me on your platform. This is really cool platform.
You coming, how much I appreciate you coming. I kept telling everybody, y'all don't know Frank McComb. I gotta tell y'all about Frank McComb. Ain't nobody know Frank McComb. How about y'all know about this? She come one more game.
Oh man, one more game.
One more game.
Keep telling them, school them, keep schooling them, keep schooling them.
But you know, it's amazing because all the people that you're telling me that you worked with on this last cut, Avery Sunshine, her thing is, how will you remember me? And her song Shine and the afternoon song, yes, and Najee, voiceover. That was my first well, call me.
Really? Okay.
He played Gina. He played his song. That was my first.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
He's like, can you just get us through the song so we can hurry up and get to the beat? He'll be able to get Gina at the back. I'm all sexy. Tell myself, you reached my recording, but I'm not available right now. And he playing Gina in the back now. George Duke. It's cold outside. Oh, won't you be so cold? Oh,
man. You know, I got a story about Duke, man.
Now, you know, you have to make it quick because you got somewhere to go.
I get there. I get there. they be all right. I'm the boss. What they going to say? So, Duke, you know, I've had people ask me what are some of the regrets that I have, you know, if I could change something. I remember Duke calling me. He called me up and was like, man, well, we got into conversations. We got to talking. And I told him, I said, there's this one tune you did on that Don't Let Go album called The Future. And I told him, you know, when I was a kid just starting out, you know, as a musician, you know, I had my periods of depression as a teenager. It was really bad. And I would go to the rocks of Lake Erie in Cleveland, Ohio. 72nd, East 72nd in St. Clair. I never forget. Wrote a song about it, literally. But I would go down to the rocks and I would just stay there and just watch the sunset. Beautiful sunset over Lake Erie. And I would play that song. It would come up on my cassette. I would always keep a cassette of my favorite tunes. It was some Patrice Rushen tunes. Y'all don't know Patrice put out instrumentals before she ever even sang. But it was a tune she did called Yolande and Herbie Hancock's Sun Touch. Just tunes like that. But then The Future would come on. And I would find myself playing that song over and over and over again. And I told Duke about it. And I was like, man, that song helped me to get through some tough times as a teenager. And he said, man, why don't you come up to the house and we write some lyrics to it? Because it's an instrumental tune. Why don't you come up to the house and we'll write some lyrics to it? And I was like, what? You know, George Duke? Me come up to the house and write with George? Yeah. So we would call each other and our schedules just kept conflicting. You know, he would be on the road and I'd be home. I'd be on the road, he'd be home. But then we'd both be in the same town. But he got to finish up a project for this person. And then I got to do something for myself on this other project. And schedules just kept conflicting. And never got to the house to work on that tune. I think to this day, I just think if I would have canceled something, just made that sacrifice, you know, that we could have had that song done. And I could have had George Duke under my belt for recording. I mean, I worked with George for the reopening of the Howard Theater. And I think that was the last time I saw him. But that's one thing to be doing something live, but to have something documented, man, like to say that I'm on this recording with George Duke and he's recorded with a lot of people. He's had a lot of features on his records over the years. I could have been one. And wow. I just think if I would have made that sacrifice, if I just would have made that sacrifice and canceled something. But when you got a wife, two kids, and you living gig to gig, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to just cancel a gig, you know. It's hard to say no to a gig. But when you're in it during that time, you don't see it. You just don't see. All you see is what's before you. You don't see, okay, let me make this sacrifice and get this under my belt because this is going to open the door for. Only a mature mind is going to do that. Only a mature mind is going to think that way. And I just wish I would have canceled something and got that under my belt. So that's one of the regrets I deal with in this business.
Wow.
Me and Duke. He was one of the coolest guys, man. One of the coolest dudes. I remember Duke and I were talking. It might have been in that same conversation. Duke and I were talking. He was explaining to me how he never saw a royalty from Epic Records with all them hits that he put out. Never saw a royalty check. Go figure.
And that hurts.
Because I'm done trying to figure that one. You go figure.
That truly hurts. That truly hurts why you guys cannot get your royalties. I remember Anita Baker. She was fighting for so long. She was telling people, don't play my music until she won her case. Yeah. And it's sad to see how it happened.
Yeah, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that. It sounds crazy for me to say this, but I count it all joy that Motown and Columbia, and it's nothing against anybody who's working at those labels now, but I count it all joy that those labels let me go.
Yeah,
they let me leave without locking me up, and I thank them for it. Those that were at the labels at that time, you know, for just letting me walk, because I've heard horror stories, man. Even Leon Silvers himself of the Silvers gave me a couple of horror stories. Yeah, so I thank God I was able to get out of that without having a whole bunch of records released under those labels and being tied up and can't control my own music. And it's one of the greatest things. It sounds good to be signed to a label. It sounds great. But it means nothing if they're not doing nothing for you and your paperwork don't have enough weight to make them do anything for you.
Exactly.
You know, it sounds great that you signed to such and such, but it don't mean a damn thing if they ain't doing nothing for you.
So, you set a mouthful there.
Yeah, don't mean nothing. I'd rather, let me tell you, I ain't caught up in a name. The label could be called Oompa Bloomp Records. If they putting up money and get my music out, I'm with you. We Oompa Bloomping all day. So I ain't caught up in the name, and I'm not a respecter of persons. I respect people, but I'm not a respecter of persons. I don't give a damn what you made of. If you ain't doing right by me, I don't need you in my life. Just that simple. Right. So I'm cool. I'm cool staying single until I find the right one to get married to. It's the best way I can put it. You know.
Well, if single looks like this, then I suggest you just stay single. Stay single. I ain't mad, but stay single. I want you to stay single. I want them to be alone and let you do what you do. And just know that what you do is honored, near and far, old and new. Especially your Christmas song. Your Christmas song was my joy for the whole year of December. Every day.
Which one? Because I put a couple of them out. Which one? I did one. It was
the one that you did just for Christmas.
I did two of them. One I did was a remake of John P. Key's No Christmas Without You. And the other one's a remake of my own tune, Christmas Day.
That's the one I did.
Christmas Day. Yeah, a lot of people like that tune.
I was messed up with that one. Because I was like, wait a minute. This isn't the same one. I said, okay, I got the new one. I said,
the remake. Yeah. See? That's what it's like. I ain't got to call nobody and ask nobody for a clearance to do it because it's my doom.
It's just
I like my creative freedom. I love my creative freedom, man. I do. I just do.
Creative freedom. I'm trying to tell you.
You know, I look at cats like Puffy. You know, I look at cats like 50 Cent. I look at all these guys. Oh, you know what? Scratch those names. Let's go even further back. I look at the Isley Brothers. The Isley Brothers and George Clinton. George Clinton and Isley Brothers are the reason why, they were my blueprints. They weren't the reason why I went independent. I went independent because it seemed like no labels could get me. So I had to do it myself. They were my inspiration for going independent. The Isley Brothers did not want to do what Motown and everybody else was doing back in their time. They want to do that. So they started a label called T-Neck out of T-Neck, New Jersey. And they got distribution from what we know as Sony. Back then, it was called CBS. And they put out their own music. And I'm guessing it might have been maybe one other person that they may have possibly put out on that label. But T-Neck Records was all Isley Brothers. And if you listen to the Isley Brothers records, you don't hear no horns. You don't hear no strings. It was their rhythm section. It was their unique sound. And they put up for themselves and put their sound out. And look at them today.
How about that? And he's still out there.
Man! Mr. Biggs, I want to be smooth like him when I get his age. I'm telling you, that's a bad dude. Look,
we saw him in Atlantic City. I was like, yo, without a beat. I'm trying to tell you without a beat.
I'm telling you. And then you got George Clinton on the business tip. You got George Clinton. One man with one group of people, two different names, signed to two different record labels at the same time more than once.
Wow.
Yeah, you got Parliament and Funkadelic. Parliament was the Parliaments signed to Atco Records over the Atlantic at the same time Funkadelic was signed to Westbound Records, this early 70s. One group of people. Then he turned around and got Funkadelic signed to Warner Brothers at the same time Parliament was signed to Casablanca, Mercury.
Right.
Yeah, he did it at least twice. One group of people with two names signed to two different labels at the same time more than once. That's genius.
That's called getting the job done.
And then my third confirmation was Prince when he said, man, if you're going to do it, go all the way. He said, you sign to a label, you give them 1 year, one record. If they can't do what needs to be done with that record, get out. And make sure you have your Harriet Tubman escape route, because if you don't, they got you. And you'll be stuck. And he said, don't call it a contract. You call it an agreement. Contract, they didn't con you. An agreement, you know what you got into. You know.
Exactly.
So these are the three things that push me to go independent. And I've been independent since 2004, and I'm still going. Without the people, I can't do it. So I need all of y'all to go to my Bandcamp, frankmccomb.bandcamp.com, and download and stream everything. Everything and stuff and all.
Stream. That's right.
Yeah.
Tell us about your accessories.
Huh?
And your accessories.
Yes. You can go to, you know what? I got one better for you. Go to frankmccombmusic.com. My Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, all of my apparel, everything is there. Frank McComb is frankmccombmusic.com. FrankMccomb music.com. And everything is there. I'll even have concert dates up there as well. So, yeah.
So y'all can't say independent. Y'all don't know, because there it is.
Look at that. Right there. Like on the TV. Yeah.
Right there. So listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fanny has walked in the room, y'all.
Well, Fanny. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there. Hey, ain't no excuse. You know, they got to always put the emphasis on the wrong part of the word. Ain't no excuse for you. It's right there on the screen. Bring me all your tithes and your offerings. Right there on the screen.
Right there on the screen.
I can't point to it, but it's over there.
Right somewhere.
There. Use your eyes.
So now y'all see why the live is always for me. And guess what, y'all? The concert is just as sweet. So make sure, if you see Frank McComb coming, Lordtown, you will be doing yourself a disservice if you don't go. I'm trying to tell you. Look, yeah. If I drive all the way to Maryland and come back, and then come back and see him again. Trust me. It's like food, y'all. I keep telling y'all. I tell y'all where the good food at, and I be right? Trust me on this one, too.
So you got that Jill Scott up in you, huh?
I'm just saying. It's a Philly thing, man.
I'm telling you. You know what? I ain't going to lie. I lived in Philly. I live close to Ishka Bibbles. I used to go to Ishka Bibbles and get my cheesesteak there, and then I would go right across to a street to Jim's. Lord Jesus. You know, the other places, Pat and Gino is overrated, man. They good, but they overrated, man. Go to Jim's.
Yeah,
South Street is where it's at, man. I tell you, I enjoyed my time in Philadelphia. That year was just great for me. Living in just that 1 year. And then here comes Steve McKeever, who was putting together Mo Jazz Records, which was the jazz division for Motown, found me right down there at Philly International Records while I was doing a recording session. So that's why I was so sad when they tore that building down, because that's why I was actually, as they say, discovered. That was the beginning of my career. You know, now Steve McKeever, love him to death. He's the guy that actually found Jill Scott. I'm clowning about Jill, but he's the one that actually found her right there in Philly, like maybe 10 years later or so. But yeah. Philly was a great time for me. It was a great time for me. It was. Yeah, that's I missed my time there. But y'all can have that snow. I'm good. I'm cool on that part. You know, I came up. I say it all the time. I came up when the snow came to me and left when it felt like it. Now I live in a place where I can go to the snow and leave when I feel like it. I'm cool, man. I'm good. Good to go.
Must be nice.
Oh, it is. And nice and expensive, but it's worth it.
So now y'all see why he be leaving me feeling some kind of way. So I'm gonna play another one of my favorite Frank McCollum songs. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen.
Oh man, thank you so much.
You never know the treasures you have unless you open up the chest and see all of his jewelry inside. So I'm gonna play this one right here. And, of course, y'all know I'm not gonna play the whole thing because you know.
Because we need that publishing, and y'all got them, and y'all and we need y'all to buy it and get them royalties.
Yes,
we need all your tithes and offerings.
This one is feeling some kind of way, and we're gonna feel some kind of way if you don't support my favorite guy, Frank McComb.
That's right. Y'all gonna be feeling some kind of way. No.
Every time I look into your big brown eyes, I know there's something different going on inside. Cause it's not like me to feel anxiety. Something's changed, been rearranged. Down deep in my heart, I just don't feel the same. I can't put my finger on it, but something's happened to me since we said hello just a few days ago. You got me feeling some kind of way, feeling this kind of way. And I've been feeling this kind of way since our encounter the other day. I'm feeling some kind of way, and I know it's real.
I might have stole that from Earth, Wind & Fire or something. I know I stole it from somebody. Yeah, they stole it from somebody.
Yes, yes.
Walk up. Yeah. Yeah. I think I got that from Ramsey Lewis. Yeah. Yeah. It's a record he did. It's a record he did called Live at the Savoy. Okay. I remember hearing that walk up on one of them tunes. I'm giving all my secrets away. Yeah. You know, most of us musicians got to be like magicians. We can't tell the secrets. We can't tell the tricks. Yeah, so, but I'll tell that one.
So I'm going to tell y'all my picks. How about that? So listen.
How about that?
You got to go to the love stories, because when you got the love stories, you got to find a way. You got Love Natural, the wedding song, and All You Need Is Love. Ladies, he's telling you right there, all you need is love. But then he came back with soulmate. He said, I'm feeling some kind of way. And then he said, I'm going to make you my soulmate. Really? You don't do that? But then he said, something. It's another love story where he put all his songs into one.
Oh, yeah. You caught that, huh? Yeah. Take all the song titles and love stories and made a song of them. Yeah.
Every last girls, ladies, he did what we did. You know how we did it? We wrote a letter and we put all the songs in it and made a whole list. And now I'm telling my secret. I keep telling you. My playlist, I'm telling y'all something. When I be playing, I be trying to tell y'all something with that playlist. You know, can you stand the rain? Yeah, I'll be talking. I'll be just saying. Then, come up with the truth. And the truth is why we're here tonight. So So we want to thank everybody for your time. We want to thank you, Frank, definitely for the time. You came early and then blamed me for being early.
I ain't gonna put your boy out like that. See, that's what happened when you efficient. Yeah. I mean, I'm like 3 hours early, man. I'm like, oh, I gotta get on. I gotta get on 12 noon because that's 3 o'clock for you. 12 noon, 12 noon. Right. No. It was 3 o'clock for me, not 3 o'clock for you.
I mean, what you doing? Huh? Like, you come out. Come like, no, you got time. Yeah, I got time.
Yeah. Then I got caught up recording. As you can see, the stuff is on, like, you know, for recording, the stuff is on. I got caught up recording and ended up getting on late because I had to, like, oh, wait a minute, let me save this. Let me shut this down.
But that shows you love right there. That's love right there because he's still recording. He's still putting out time. And he does it out of love.
Love is blaming it on you. I blame everything on you. Me being late, the time, everything. Yo,
but it's all right. You got me back because I ended up having to change my clothes just for you, right?
No.
You got me back. You got me back because you're like,
and put the red on.
All colors. I'm like, oh.
No. But I got to be a real man and take the blame because you got to remember I had to restart my whole system.
That was all right.
I had to turn the internet off and start it over.
But look, it's like you said. This is the moments. It's these moments right here.
That's right.
It's these documented moments that we will always have to treasure, because I can say I was with my buddy, my pal, who didn't know he was my buddy and my pal, but my buddy,
my best friend, and my ace boom coon.
That's right. We do the pop pop, you know.
Bam. There you go. Hey, my hands ashy. Are they ashy? Ashy. My hands. Yeah. Okay. Good. Because you know it's bad. You know it's bad when a yellow boy ashy. You can see it. You know it's real bad. But the yellow boy is ashy. And it can be seen.
We're going to blame it on the whiskey. We're going to blame it on the whiskey.
Yeah, we're going to blame it on the communion. Yes. Yeah. But wait, I had coffee in this cup. It was really coffee. See, it was coffee.
It was good.
This time. I didn't even spike it this time. I didn't even spike it. I should have. But, you know, it's evening for me now. So,
Well, we want to thank you for coming with the brunch and giving us intimate time. So, ladies, it's around Valentine's Day. And men, it's Valentine's Day, too. So, if you don't want it and you don't know how to get it, call Frank McComb and let him put on some intimate time for you, okay?
And then I'm going to jack up the prices like they do for flowers at this time of year. Yeah.
So this is how you set the mood, guys. Take it from Frank. He's going to tell you how to do it.
Intimate time. Just you and I, it's not often we lay alone.
Yes, we don't usually get that intimate time alone, so. Go ahead, tell them how I sound. Go ahead, give it to them. Give it to them live. Go ahead, Frank.
Who, me? I'm like George, I'm like Fred Sanford with my arthritis. I can't do it.
Did he give us the fingers, y'all?
Yeah, man, I got to. My arthritis. My laryngitis. Man, I never sing on the spot. I never could, man. I tease people. I tell them it's like asking Mike Tyson to punch you.
Oh, wow.
Hit me, Tyson. Hit me right there. Hit me. Right there. I could never do it.
Where can everybody find you at?
I'm going to be, Detroit, Michigan. I got a call from Terry Lynn Carrington. We're doing a tribute to Stevie Wonder on, I think it's February 26th. Yeah, for the Carr Center. In Detroit, Michigan on February 26th. I've got You know what? While I'm thinking about it, wait a minute. While I'm thinking about it, let me get this calendar up. Let's see exactly where I'm going to be. How about that? Yes. Let me get the real. Let me get the real eyes on. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. On February 26th. Yeah. So February 26th, Detroit, Michigan. I'm not sure what the venue is. San Diego, March the 6th. It's at a place called Humphreys on March 6th in San Diego. Baltimore, Maryland is going to be Next Phase Cafe. Baltimore, Maryland on Friday, March 18th, Saturday, March 19th. I got Houston coming up too. Where is Houston? That's coming up. Nashville, Tennessee, the makeup concert for the Hathaway tribute, the solo Hathaway tribute that I could not play due to the storm. We rescheduled it for Monday, April 25th, Nashville, Tennessee. And let's see, I'm missing something. Houston is March the 12th. What was it? March 12th. Houston, Texas. It's going to be March 12th. It's going to be a good makeup show because I was supposed to play another club in Houston that dropped the ball. So you guys, that's going to be a good makeup show. It's actually going to be me and Jeff Bradshaw in concert together. I'm waiting on the venue information now because the promoter is actually working on trying to decide where they're going to do it. But just be on the lookout for Saturday, March the 12th in Houston, Texas. Also, London, England. It's me and my friend Kanye Doss. We're coming to play the Jazz Cafe. So this will be my first trip to London in almost 2 years, or roughly 2 years. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's coming up soon. Oh, the Tin Pan on May 25th. I need you guys to mark your calendar for that. It's in Virginia. The Tin Pan is going to be with a trio on May the 25th. And the City Winery, D.C. on Saturday, May the 28th. Yeah, so that's what I got so far. Like I told you, I like putting a few dates together and calling it quits for a little bit and going back out. So I'm still working on dates to put around those few dates. And as you can see, they're spread pretty far out. Because I gotta take care of me. And in taking care of me, I'm taking care of those that come to see me. So yeah, my calendars, I'll be putting the word out, you know, online, letting everybody know where I'm at. So come on out. Hey, Terrence Thompson, what's up, bro? All right now. Hey, all right there now.
Yes.
All right there now, Terrence Thompson. Okay, there now.
Yes, that's the great chess player, Mr. Terrence Thompson.
Oh, that yeah. Man,
he throw his music out there on them boards. I declare he'd be playing chess.
I ain't mad at that.
I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, yes, and Kanye Doss, that right there.
Kanye and I go back years, man. Me and Kanye, we're schoolmates. We go back, middle school? Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go back some years. And it's funny because we're both doing the same thing that we said we were going to do, play music for a living. And we're out there doing it.
Yeah, and that's as grown-ups. The part. That's the part. Mm-hmm. That's the part right there when that's you actually play out your dream.
There's nothing like
today. My dream was to get you here and tell everybody about you. And now my dream has been fulfilled.
So it's come true.
So now this is what I need y'all to do.
Yeah.
This is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to back my homeboy up. Back my homeboy up. Tell somebody else to tell somebody else to tell somebody else. Because you know what I say. It may not have been your seed to plant, but it may be a seed for somebody else to grow on. So make sure you throw them seeds out. You never know what you landing on. So make sure Mr. Frank McComb out there, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Any questions you want to know about love, I mean any of them, including your future love.
Yeah, okay. Your future love, which is your love natural. Yeah, that's right. Come on. It's good soil. Put your seed in this good soil. That's right. It's good ground.
Yes, good girl. Right.
Bring me all your tithes and offerings. Bring them. will a man rob Frank?
Yes. You're going to have to do your shows. You're going to, it's going to have to be a comedy.
I just love a good time, man. I just like to have fun. That's all. I just love a good time, you know? I just love a good time. The world is too damn serious right now. It just is, man. You know, my wife and I were just talking about it. You can't even tell a person their gas cap is open on, their gas door is open on their car no more. You know, you can't just say, hey, your gas door is open, man. No, they think you're trying to hijack them or something.
Yep.
You can't tell nobody their door is open on the car, like, you know, it's cracked. You can't tell them that part of their skirt is hanging out where they closed it in, you know. Can't do that stuff. And definitely don't flash your lights at people. Because the headlights are off. You know, back in the day, that was a sign. You know, you got to have car etiquette. I love to travel, as you can see. I love to drive. And car etiquette, you know, flash the lights, let them know the lights are off. They turn around and chase you. So you can't do it no more. The world is too serious, and I love to laugh, so I just don't consider myself a part of the world. I just don't. I'm in my own lane, man. I'm in my own lane.
We in our own bubble. This our bubble right here.
Yep. And I ain't letting nobody in it if I don't feel like letting them in it. I got that right.
As you should.
I've been in my own bubble for years. I'm cool with that. That's right.
I promised Frank that I would not take his whole 90 minutes. So I am going to let him go now. And you guys already know this has to be a treat because Lovely usually just do her thing, but I just had to give some love and shed some love tonight. It was only one other way I could shed love with my fave love guy, Frank McCall. So thank you.
Oh, man.
I really
much appreciate it. Much appreciated. Good platform. A lot of fun. Thank you so much. Y'all be cool.
Thank you. So listen, guys, don't forget. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, maybe same time. I don't know. You never know with Lovely. You know what Lovely, she just shows up. But when she shows up, she always show you up with something worthwhile, just like tonight. Yeah. So make sure y'all check us out. And tomorrow, tune in to listen, because you know what Recess. Recess, maybe if you listen long enough, you might just hear your answer. So make sure you stay tuned to hear that again. Is there anybody you want to shout out, Frank?
Just the fans for the support. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. You know, and I'll be, like I said, I'll have all my dates up soon. FrankMcCallMusic.com. And just go there and, you know, if you're in town, cool. If you're not in town, buy a ticket for somebody. How about that? You can support. Yeah, that's right. And follow me on everything.
And y'all already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell y'all where Frank at. Don't I always? All right, y'all stay cool until next week. This is Lovely signing off. And you know what I like to say.
Whatever you do, continue to show and give love.